Hey everybody, good evening. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl.
And I am Ash.
And she's Ash.
I am. It's true. I really am.
And today we are live, Sunday, June 1st. Happy birthday, Marilyn Monroe.
Oh yeah, happy. I thought you were saying Marilyn Manson.
No. Is it his birthday?
I have no idea. But happy birthday, Marilyn Monroe.
Happy birthday to you. She would have been 88 years old today.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's intense.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Double eight. Eight is the money number in Chinese astrology.
Maybe she would have been even richer at 88.
she would have been doing just fine. It's just everybody else who's left behind is doing fine because everything. Look at all the iconography around her with all her beautiful posters still selling. And yeah, it's quite something.
Yeah, June 1st. This is our first live show in quite a while.
Because 2 weeks ago, I was going to try and go solo.
I was just still coming back from California.
Ash was on an airplane.
I was in an airplane while the show would have been airing, so I couldn't even have fallen in. If I would have come back the next day or something, I would have fallen in from L.A.
But you could have called in, yeah. But you can't when you're on the plane. They don't let you now. Apparently, though, I was reading that they are going to be allowing all of that, this whole device thing that's basically just not super necessary as with regards to having to shut it down, but they just do that.
Well, you can't really get service from up there anyway. But I mean, they do give you one. Oh yeah, you can't get service.
You're kind of closer to the satellite.
I don't know why you can't get service. Like, I don't know. Maybe some people can, but
36,000 feet.
Well, it's almost like it's too high up. Like, I don't know.
And you're right in between. You're in the stratosphere, Fred.
I completely agree, but they do have Wi-Fi on the plane. But I think you get only like half an hour free ever. Like, because
after that, it's $100 a second.
No, it's like. It's money per like half an hour, but what was really weird is that on the way there I could use it. Remember, I even texted him like, "Hi, I'm on an airplane."
It's exciting actually to be on an airplane, knowing you're going somewhere, and you can actually text your friends.
But then on the way back, it wouldn't let me do it. It was going to charge me $10.
Well,
so I didn't.
I don't need to talk to you that bad.
Yeah, I'm not that special. That's okay.
I'm kidding.
I understand. I get it.
No. I'm not worth $10. No.
But actually, you were, because as my best friend, I called you from in Disneyland. So yeah. That must mean you're special.
Why? Did it cost you $100 from there?
No. My dad actually...
It was free, people. So, come on.
All right.
Hi, I'm having so much fun here at Disneyland. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, and then I'm going to go do that and this again.
And I'm calling you for free.
And I'm going... Okay, I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm just sitting here.
R.I.P. to our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful best friend, Travis.
Yeah. Unfortunately, our lovely studio dog and rescue, Chihuahua pug, Mr. Travis Walter Crash, passed away on May the 3rd from an aggressive form of cancer, which we didn't know he was sick. We thought he had a disorder that was... He was diagnosed as having idiopathic vestibular syndrome, which is a geriatric thing usually, although younger dogs can get it, and cats can actually get it, so look it up. If you ever notice your dog or your cat kind of tilting their head,
and their eyes darting back
and eyes are darting quite a bit and can't stop darting, and their heads are tilting, and they tend to kind of walk in circles, then that could be a sign of idiopathic vestibular disorder, or it could be the sign of a brain tumor. And what it turned out for Travis was probably most likely a brain tumor, and the cancer went through his body, and he passed away, and I miss him like crazy. I'm very sad. You know, it's amazing how an animal can become such a part of your soul. And we talked about him before, because I think he passed away Well, yeah, a week ago today, and that was the day before. We told you folks that he had died the day before. And, yeah, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away.
Except we do have somebody very special here now.
Yes. So, because I feel very strongly about rescue animals, I'm very much an advocate. Both Ash and I are huge animal rights people and very much advocate for the animals and signing all sorts of things and being a part of all these petitions and, you know, pro don't test on animals. And I'm very much, you know, there's so many animals in the shelters. And I know that in California, in the state of California, where Travis is from, that there are high kill shelters there. And they don't usually keep dogs. They just euthanize them. And these are some, I'm so glad Travis was rescued because, you know, he would have been euthanized. And yes, I only had him for just under 3 years, but what amazing 3 years, under 3 years that was. And I'm so grateful that he came into my life and that I was able to give him a home and share my friends. And his family became huge because of Ash and her family, and everybody just loved him, all of Ash's aunties and uncles. And he was very much loved. And yeah, so I really feel strongly that if there's an animal who's in a shelter, and I have a space in my home for one, why wouldn't I have an animal, you know,
I think save
another
people,
animal?
More people should. I mean, that everyone has an excuse. But, I mean, if there's a dog or a cat, like any animal, in a shelter that needs a home, like cats are euthanized just as much as dogs.
It's
not
true.
More.
Yeah.
And anyone, just open your home.
Open your hearts and open your home.
It'll make the difference, like the world, to one soul.
But the thing is that we think we're rescuing them, but they actually end up rescuing us. It's amazing. They've done studies on how pets affect people in terms of their health and their well-being, and it's quite something.
Oh, I know.
Pets are huge. They bring pets into, you know, where people are, the elderly and the infirm and whatnot, and just how it raises spirits of people.
Maybe we'll post a picture of Molly.
Yeah. So roundabout, I was actually a friend on Facebook with a animal shelter in Puyallup, Washington called Sunny Skies. For those of you who are on Facebook, check them out. Sunny Skies. Sunny Skies. They're in Puyallup. They're an amazing shelter. We were very impressed by the people there, by the love there, the caliber of the shelter. It's quite extraordinary. So I've been actually seeing animals even when Travis was here, because there's a part of me that's going, oh, I want a second dog.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, this picture came after Travis had passed away. I was just feeling very sad that he's gone. And I went ahead and started looking at some pictures on Sunny Skies, which I'd been doing prior anyway, and saw this picture of this little girl. And her eyes just spoke to me. And actually, when I phoned them right away, and then I made an application online. And when they asked me the question, why are you drawn to this particular animal? And that's what I said. The photograph, her eyes. And so again, like sometimes we overthink our decisions, and I'm guilty of that too, because I remember when I initially got a dog many, many years ago, I was advised to really research my breeds and really research and find out what are my dog needs, you know, to find the right personality and on and on. And I did that, and I ended up picking a Weimaraner. This is many years ago. And after all that research, the Weimaraner didn't even work out for me. She wasn't the right dog for me. And I ended up returning her to the breeder, which was fine because she was a show dog and the breeder was happy to take her back and show her. But anyways, now, you know, here I am. I see a picture of a dog online. I can't even tell how, I know she's a small dog, but you can't even really tell how her size. You can't tell much about her. It's just something in the eyes. Mm-hmm. And so and then Ash came down for the road trip with me. And we picked her up on the day that she was spayed. She'd been spayed that morning, and we picked her up in the afternoon. And that was 3 weeks ago now. So we have Molly. She's a Spaniel Aussie Terrier mix, and she's a lovely, lovely, beautiful soul.
She's amazing, and I can't wait to show you guys her picture. We'll post one on our hologram.com. I promise, you have my word, that I will put it up tomorrow, but probably not till tomorrow night.
So if any of you feel that you have room in your homes for animals, and they're like children. I don't know, those of you who are parents out there, most of us don't think we're ever ready for kids. You know, you get to a point sometimes you go, yes, I'm ready now, but most of us aren't really ready and we think, what's it going to be like? And yada, yada, we do it though. And then you just make it happen. You make it work. And it's the same thing with animals. You make it work. You know, you find ways to, someone can puppy sit sometimes and, you know, you just work around it. It's a real blessing. So if you have room in your hearts and your homes, please visit your local shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
And so that leads us to our, well, original greeting. And the topic of our show tonight is what, Cheryl?
Oh, I had it up. Now I don't have it up because I was yammering.
There's an exact title of our show.
I was yammering.
And I forget the exact title.
Was I yammering?
No, you were rambling in a very nice way.
With a yammer. Anyways, tonight our show, Can the Walking Wounded Soar? And here's the blurb. Here we discuss the issues of our personal and our global wounds. The hurt, the pain, the anger, the distress, the condemnation, the abuse, the neglect, the ambivalence that we have each experienced and carry with us, or do we? How do we transcend the injustices and the darknesses that others may purposefully or even inadvertently send our way? How can we truly go back to love when we've been betrayed or hurt very deeply? Can we eradicate all wrongs, or can we live with them and shine in spite of their presence? And that's what we're talking about tonight, folks. And because we are live, and this is a special thing when we're live, we encourage you to join in on the discussion and offer your insight and your wisdom with us. And what's our radio show numbers?
Oh, I will tell you.
You tell us the numbers. And if you're listening to us right now, you're tuned into BBS Radio. They've got the call numbers on the homepage as well. So if you go back to your homepage, you can see.
Yeah, anyone who wants to call in, just call in anytime. We really love to hear from you. And it's such a treat because we get to talk to a lot of different people all the time. And the number to call in is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Call in, say hi, tell us anything. Talk about our topic, one of our past topics. Dogs, cats, music,
shelters,
anything you want to talk about, talk to us.
We're not rigid. We're pretty open. We're pretty open-minded to spirit and to what spirit brings us through you guys. So, yeah, whatever you want to talk about. But just no abuse, please. We don't want to have any kind of abuse going online.
Yeah, we haven't really had any, you know, we've had accidental callers who end up being really cool callers.
Wonderful callers. Yeah. I love those accidental callers.
Me too.
So we were talking about this topic. I've been sick. Ash was really sick. The mom's been sick. And this has kind of been out of commission. So we didn't have a topic to even pick until today. And we're actually heading off to work after this.
We work till 4 in the morning.
We're doing a DJ gig. It's going to be fun. I love the grads. They're a lot of fun. And but anyway, what the reason why this topic came up is, again, I'm going to go back to Facebook. I get a lot of people who very kindly comment. I also have a lot of friends that I get to see the things that they say. And I had posted a Rose Kennedy quote. And this is the quote that Rose Kennedy had made. It has been said, time heals all wounds. I do not agree. The wounds remain. In time, the mind, protecting its sanity, covers them with scar tissue and the pain lessens, but it is never gone. And after I posted that, I had a woman comment, and someone that I respect, she's also someone who has, I believe, her own radio show. I'm not going to say her name unless she wants to call in and say who she is. But for those of you who are my Facebook friends, you could check this out and find out for yourselves. But this woman's amazing. I have high regard for her. A lovely woman, a great soul. And this was her response. I love Rose Kennedy, and in her day and in her view, I'd say this was true for her. It's not my belief today. I find that it is a choice whether or not to heal all wounds, individual and with no judgment. But some will hold on to wounds and cover them with scar tissue because they fear that without the wound, they will forget and then have to repeat the lesson. I used to think that too, but it doesn't serve me anymore. I prefer to let them heal, not by time, but by choice, when I am ready. And then I responded with this. The only time an emotional, spiritual wound is truly gone is when its cause is completely forgotten. And for most of us in this life, within its short time frame, the wounds remain, for the causes are never entirely erased from our memory. And just as my broken bones have knitted together so that I can again walk unaided and use my hands again without pain, our emotional spiritual wounds also will heal so that we may again trust another or feel hope or believe in goodness again. But these wounds remain shadows within us, just as our x-rays would show where our bones have been broken. So we have two views here. We have my view, well, three. We have Rose Kennedy, which I actually, the reason why I posted it is I believe what she said to be true. And we have my friend's view, who says that it's not time, it's choice that heals. And I'm also not saying that that's not something I don't believe, right?
Yeah.
But I truly believe that this is a topic that we need to talk about, because it's not only our personal wounds, but it's our global wounds. Why are we struggling here?
Well, I honestly think that's a good point. Like, I think this is how I feel. This is my own personal experience. And it has to do with empathy. And I really feel that because of the wounds that really are left unattended globally, that even for myself, I feel like I take that on, and I have a lot of soft spots because of that. I don't know. I think that that's really important to me, like that we take more responsibility globally. And I'm not talking about like people around the world, you know, dedicated to kind of working on themselves, but I mean everybody reaching out, working globally, not personally.
But it starts personally.
It does.
To become global.
But too many people become obsessed with personal wounds and don't reach out globally.
Well, I think that if someone's obsessed with their personal wounds and they're staying within themselves and not reaching out for help, mm-hmm. or they're just kind of in this circular kind of wheel within themselves about their pain, which also would make it so that they're not really accessible to people, because people who have gone through a lot of trauma, mm-hmm. who, you know, a lot of people, it's very difficult for them to reach out after being very traumatized. You know, we have to sort of find our place in the trauma, which is a natural thing for each of us to kind of go, whoa. First of all, you have to assimilate it in such a way that you have to, it's, you know, for those of you out there who have had tragedy and trauma in your life, you know what it's like. It's a surreal thing. At first, it's, mm-hmm. is this really happening? Did this really happen?
Mm-hmm.
Am I here? Is this my reality now? It's so confusing. And so I think that it's vital that we have that internal processing happening.
Mm-hmm.
But where I think it becomes detrimental to ourselves is when, like you're saying, obsession. If we stay in our pain, and as a result of that, we're not only continuously wounded, but we're also tend to be quite judgmental and resentful.
Yeah.
Because it's like we put the barbs out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like, I am in pain. I've been hurt. I'm not letting go of the pain. I'm not trusting again. I don't want you near me because you might do it. You know, I don't know who you are. All this stuff that's going on for us. And for those of us who've worked with people who have gone through trauma, it's really something else, like in terms of how to approach them. And you've done this too, Ash, because you've done work
yeah.
with people in counseling
and
have helped where there's been great trauma.
Great trauma. I mean, the worst that you could imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of.
Yeah. And it comes from these people that have truly lived this life and had these things happen to them. So as a person who's on the other side of it, trying to bring that person to a place of back to comfort, back to being okay. Can you actually get back to being okay? Rose Kennedy says the wounds never go away. I'm in agreement with her. I was talking to Ash about this earlier. I feel that a lot of the new ageism around right now, it's kind of become almost the same as a lot of religions and such, that there can be an aspect of subtle shaming. And I'll say to you what I mean by that so that you don't kind of go off and misquote me here. You know, for example, there's the secret, the idea of the secret and manifestation. And this is how you manifest, and you must manifest. And this is a whole other show. I'm not going to get into it because it's true. We can manifest. We all do manifest. But this idea of put something on a board and then it will come into being. And if it's not, then you're not doing it right. So that's a subtle shaming. Mm-hmm. And then it brings us back to not feeling our worth, our power. We kind of become disempowered. Mm-hmm. So we think, oh, I'm not doing it right. How come I don't know the secret? How come I don't have the answers? What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And this is where I think that all of these religions or any philosophy that kind of says, this is what you do, and if you're not doing it right, you won't get it. I say, no, 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 to all of them. Because how does that help any of us?
It doesn't. It
because
never has.
What works for me may not necessarily work for you, but we can get to the same goal, but just use different techniques or different paths, right? So I think it's really imperative that even with our wounds, instead of just sort of with this new ageism going, forgive all, and this is again comes into other religions and philosophies, forgive all, and then it's healed and release it. And it's true. I mean, I'm really simplifying something here just for the case of making a point. It's true that we want to forgive. We want to get to a place of forgiving. We want to get to a place of surrender and letting go. But it's also equally important that we allow ourselves the process by which we do that. And we also allow ourselves the ability to not have to forget. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, how else? If we were to forget all the transgressions that have been put upon us, then we wouldn't actually learn how to avoid that behavior coming at us. Because you can certainly pick up certain energies from different people, and you can see patterns in people. So if you are continuously getting a certain outcome, you want to look at the patterns and the people that are giving you this outcome, and you can read them. You can read them.
Oh,
so, and I also think it's absolutely imperative that we each become responsible for the wounds that we cause. So, for example, if we think that we can just go around and do whatever we want to because, you know what, they're just going to forgive me because they're a nice person and I can just shit on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that doesn't affect me. I mean, that's ignorant.
Very ignorant. Ignorant in the worst case.
So that's, again, being completely, like, going overboard on the other end of the spectrum, going all shit on everybody, and who cares, because they're going to forgive me. They're super sweet, and they're religious or whatever. again, I'm oversimplifying, but I'm just trying to make a point. It's important and imperative that we acknowledge how we are affecting another with our behavior, and not just our behavior, but our thoughts. It's action and it's thought. And are we causing harm, or are we bringing about love and healing? And always asking ourselves that whenever we do something.
Well, like you say, doing a mental checklist. Like, that's something that kind of inspired me, because I never thought of that. Like, I mean, I used to check in with myself, whatever, but I never used to kind of think, okay, am I doing this? Am I doing this? Things that are really important to me, making my own checklist and kind of just subconsciously going through that helps a lot. That's how I feel. It really, really does. And especially when I'm interacting with other people, especially students, I find. Like, sometimes I can, personalities clash. And sometimes, you know, especially dealing with kids who are really putting themselves out there by playing an instrument, which can be a really personal thing,
mm-hmm.
or writing a song. Sometimes personalities kind of get in there unintentionally. And, you know, I could say something like, oh, you know, that doesn't really sound good together. Like, say, two chords I'm talking about. That doesn't really sound good together. That could be hugely detrimental to a person starting out playing music. But someone who's been playing for 10 years, they'll say, okay, I'll change it.
Yeah.
So it's really about doing a checklist, and I do that with my students. Okay, well, this student, have they played music? Are they just starting? Are they this? Are they that? And it sounds simple enough, and I know that maybe a lot of people won't be able to even understand my comparisons because they've never taught music, but you can apply that to life, to anyone. And I think that having some kind of standards, emotional standards, and courtesy standards can help not cause wounds.
That's right. So we're doing our part by not causing wounds, which in fact that person's wounded and they were. You hear that saying, hurt people.
Oh, yeah.
So I was also thinking about this, too. You're talking about children. You're talking about children that are beginning, and we know how vulnerable children. I've worked with children, too. Mm-hmm. I've been a tutor. And I've worked with children with music, with drama, with French, and with English. And it's imperative with children, depending on their age, you're not going to step on them, and you don't want to stomp on their creativity, and you don't want to stomp on them expressing themselves and take, because you know it takes a lot for them to step out. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. See, it's not like you're dealing with an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dealing with a child who's very, very sensitive, very vulnerable. And so you have to almost coddle them, but, you know, in a really gentle, kind way, because you want, it's like encouragement as opposed to shutting them down.
Oh, totally.
So you encourage them and you focus on what they're doing right, or you focus on what's working for them, and you don't really draw any attention to the other stuff that's not working, right? That's with children. So getting back to this wounds thing, I was thinking about this too. I thought, you know, hurt people, fine. But if you're 40 years old, mm-hmm. and you're still living in your wound, you know, you were abused as a child, or you had, you know, some tough things happen to you, and you're not letting go of them because you're living it. It's almost like you're reliving it every day, and it's made you dark. It's made you confrontational. It made you angry. It's made you resentful. At what point, you know, that hurt person is hurting others. Their barbs are out because they're still hurting and they're not letting go of the pain. But at what point are we responsible? Because I don't think that we can go around saying, okay, I'm sorry, you're 40 years old, you were hurt, I'm going to just, you know, cut you some slack here. I mean, there's times, of course, that you're going to cut someone slack. You're going to be in the moment and feel that moment. But for the most part, I think, no, that's not okay.
Yeah,
not. Okay, you had a rough path. Who hasn't had rough things in their lives? It doesn't give you the right to be extremely rude,
no,
to be abusive, because you were in pain. I see, this is where I'm talking about that personal responsibility. And I know I've been in relationship with people like this too, that were, you know, hadn't dealt with their own stuff and brought this stuff to the relationship. And didn't want to disclose the stuff, didn't want to step into getting healed from it. We're open, but only to a point, because a lot of people hang on to that stuff because it's familiar. Even if it's detrimental to them, it's familiar. So a lot of people are afraid of change, period. It doesn't matter even if the change would be better for them.
Exactly.
The fear of change is huge for many, many people. Exactly. So getting back to the wounds, like this, the title of this show, you know, the walking wound is, can we soar? And I say, yes, we can.
I say we can, too.
Definitely. And most definitely. Even with the wound.
I agree completely. That
I don't think you have to eradicate the wound to be able to soar spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think we should see what Ash's mom on line one has to say about that.
It's Ash's mom, line one. And you are online, hey, Janet.
I had my song. Never mind, you said everything I was going to say in the past 3 minutes.
Seriously?
Yep.
I didn't even notice that you were waiting, because Ash had pointed out at a point and there was nobody there, so...
That's what I was going to say. Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, you're just cutting up a little bit.
Yeah, there's an echo when I talk.
I can hear you now. So say what you were going to say, even if it's what I already said or Ash already said.
Yeah, like it was just, you know, like you're saying, hurt people hurt. But what I was going to say is that sometimes hurt people don't know how to let go, because they stay in their, they kind of stay in their misery. You know what I mean? Like they don't know how, even if they wanted to, because I guess, you know, and it starts with what I'm saying is childhood. You know, if you've been neglected and you haven't been nurtured or loved, then you don't know how to nurture and love and listen and be kind to people. You know what I mean? And if you're Like, I've seen this so many times. Children that are just left alone to fend on their own. They don't know how to nurture. They don't know how to love because it was never shown to them. And they think it's okay. Like, you know, sometimes, like, you have parents that are bullies and they transfer it to their children. And they turn into bullies, which transfer it to, you know, and it's just like a vicious circle. And I think that there has to be something there that's going to help these people heal so that they can, you know, let go of the pain. That's all I have to say.
So here's the thing, Janice. Yes, we have people that have been hurt and they haven't been taught or haven't learned while they were growing up how to process or how to heal from these wounds. And so they kind of go into the adult world without a lot of tools in their toolbox. So what would the answer be, though? Because I don't think it's okay for us to say, oh, well, sorry, Sam, you didn't get. So what would your suggestion be to someone who's listening, perhaps, who's going, yes, that's me. I never learned. I didn't have anyone by example to teach me. I wasn't shown the way in any particular way. I've got to find a way myself. What would you say to someone like that?
I would say, and this is corny, but adopt an animal. Animals teach you how to love. They teach you. They're so pure. They're so pure. They have a pure heart. They love unconditionally. They forgive unconditionally. You learn a lot from animals. I don't know. That's corny, but I know that. It's true. It's true. And animals, like, they don't know how to be mean, to be purposely mean. They don't know how to hurt on purpose. They don't know. They just give unconditional love all the time. And like they say, you can smack them 1 minute, which I hope no one ever, ever hurts an animal. But they turn around and lick your hand. Like, that is forgiveness beyond. That's something that humans don't do too easily. And the animal forgets. You know, and if you can learn so much from an animal. You know, adopt an animal, like everybody out there. You'll learn so much about forgiveness and love and patience and kindness if you can't learn it outside of yourself. You'll learn it in your home. That's what I had to say.
I like that. That's a great. See, that ties in really nicely with our introduction explaining about the death of Travis and Molly coming in from the shelter. And yeah, that's wonderful. That's a really great idea. I've heard before advice be given to people considering being parents that they might want to try having a pet prior to having a child because it's very much the same kind of thing.
So much.
Yeah. No, that's a wonderful suggestion. And
so I'm just going to leave that with you.
Pardon?
I'll leave that with you guys. And that's what I had to say because I've learned something from every animal we've had, from every animal you've had, the difference between Molly and Travis, and they were both loving and forgiving. And, well, Bucky was a little bit different, but he was a mama's boy. I mean, there's people like that in real life, too, right? But they're in jail. So.
Yeah.
But he was my boy, and he had love for me anyway. So I just thought I'd leave that with you and with the people out there that there are ways that you can heal. And they take animals to hospitals for people. They take it into you know, children's hospital. They take it into old age homes, you know, and that nurtures people. And that just turns an old grumpy old man into, you know, a kitten because he just wants to pet the dog and love it. You know, you see people change.
Yes, yeah,
with animals.
That's true.
So anyway, I'm going to leave that with you guys, and I'll see you when I see you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ash's mom.
Hey, love you guys.
Love you
thank
too.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
So apparently there was a little bit of feedback and stuff that Dawn said, and because of the proximity maybe that my mom is calling us. So hopefully you guys still all heard that. We appreciate you sticking by us, yo.
So we'll just say that what Janice was saying, because I asked her what would the solution be? What would she offer as a solution to those who, you know, who didn't have examples growing up of ways to, you know, let go, to heal, to not be wounding if they were hurt. And she was suggesting to adopt an animal. And I thought, how perfect was that?
That's perfect. I mean, we've seen firsthand lately how just having something to care for and having, you know, just that love returned to you so innocently.
I think it's really important to mention this too, because this is what comes up for me right away. They've done studies on people that are murderers, violent tendencies, serial killers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And for many of them, one of the precursors to actually murdering humans was abusing animals.
Yeah, I know.
So I think it's imperative that you kind of pay attention to people around you who might be abusing animals and get them some help, because that's a way, you know, it could be psychotic, it could be sociopathic behavior, but it's also obviously something where there's some very deep stuff going on in that individual that they would be mm-hmm. causing harm to an animal. You know, because then it, you know, you kind of do it to the innocent. You mm-hmm. cause harm to the innocent, and then you start causing harm to those who aren't so innocent. But
I don't understand why somebody would feel powerful. I never understood this. Why anyone could feel powerful hurting something or someone who's innocent.
I don't understand it either, because it's ridiculous. As far as I see, just from a logical perspective, it's illogical, because of course you're going to have power when you're, you know, three times the size of something, or four or ten times in the case of an animal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have the strength that is equally, is, you know, times than theirs. I mean, how ridiculous, you know, to, you already have that power over them. But this, again, we're talking about mental illness, we're talking about psychopathy, we're talking about mm-hmm. a different way of seeing the world, a different way of seeing other beings, and not really even seeing them, not connecting to them in a way that they are me and I am they,
mm-hmm.
right? It's
yeah.
just this, again, this separateness, and to feel powerless and having to feel powerful, because even rape is to do with power. It's
yeah.
not a sexual thing, it's to have power over somebody. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of illness out there. There's a lot of people that are pretty hurting. And so this is why I was saying, Janice, what do you think would be a solution? You know, we have counselors, we have psychologists, we have psychiatrists, we have, you know, people who are in ministry, for those of you who are involved in religions and churches, that can offer you aid. But ultimately, and I do believe in the power of another person listening to you, being able to speak very, very openly and in trust with someone. But, you know, there's a number of things. It's about trusting your own path. It's about the willingness, though. You've got to be willing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to let go of your wounds, if your mind says that you are, but your actions are not allowing you to, then that's when you need someone else to step in and be open-minded to getting some counsel. And I'm a strong believer in other people, in psychologists and counselors. I'm also a strong believer in finding the right one for you, because not everyone's going to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find yourself in a situation where you are sitting down with someone, and it doesn't matter if they're a doctor, I don't care if they've got 20 years of schooling behind them, if you're not feeling right, then find another. Because don't get intimidated by anybody's credentials. Don't get intimidated by anything or anyone. Find the right person for you. It's imperative that you do. Because, again, it's about coming back to yourself. It's about finding yourself in all of this, finding who you are, what resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes someone who you're going to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And just because someone else works, you know, someone could say, hey, my guy's great, go and check him out. And yeah, that's wonderful. It doesn't mean that it's going to work for you.
Well, everyone's different. Like, I even noticed when I was younger and I really was, obviously all related back to music, I really wanted to play guitar. And I had different people really inspire me. And I remember that some people, that like some of my friends or whatever who knew say a specific person, couldn't stand that whoever it was. I mean, I've had a few, so I'm not even going to mention names, but, and I just found them to be absolutely amazing. Like, even teachers, I had this one teacher who, you know, everyone just thought she was a major, you know, ass. And there was just something that I saw that was amazing. And it really all depends. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of my students think of maybe some people haven't liked me and have left. But I mean, I've had kids who've been with me going on 8 years.
Yeah.
So, which is
finding the right fit. Yeah. It works both ways. I mean,
exactly.
It's not only for your student, but it's also you as a music teacher.
Yeah.
Because you're even more inspired to teach when you feel that there's willingness, when you're clicking, when it's, you know, you got some relationship happening.
Let's not forget the kid last year whose dad wouldn't let him come in the room alone, who passed out on the drums every lesson. Oh, man.
Everybody's got their way.
Everyone's got their way.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some wounds.
Maybe.
You're asleep through it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you never know. You never know his history. You don't know. He might be extremely scared about his son being not by his side for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe something traumatic happened to him. I read recently that, you know, if we knew each other's wounds, if we knew truly what each other had been through, we'd treat each other a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And we would understand each other a lot more.
Mm-hmm. But that would be almost too much to take on.
Well, especially personally. When you're sensitive.
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, I feel everything. So
me too.
I can even feel if someone is something going on with them physically. It's sensitive. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I can feel that broken. Like, ow, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
But I think it's just, again, I think it's imperative that we recognize that each of us have our wounds and each of us are responsible for ourselves and our lives. And we're also responsible for being empathic, like you're saying, being empathic to each other. But I think it's important that we're empathic to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
But don't overindulge it and let the empathy for yourself become self-pity.
That's true.
And I've seen that happen quite a bit, too,
yeah,
with people.
Too.
And sat down, you know, there's those people that always have the problems and want you to help them and give advice, but they never even take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really don't want the problem solved. They just like the energy that they get from people when they tell them, woe is me. And so, you know, you kind of watch for those people.
Mm-hmm. Or you get the people, like, what I find damaging as well is I remember I used to have this friend I don't hang out with anymore, obviously, and you'll know why in a second, but who always claimed that he knew everything. Like, you could not say to somebody, you know, you couldn't say to this person, you know, the sky is blue, and they'd say, well, I haven't really seen it be that blue because it's actually more like this. But you know why it's like that? Like, I mean, it's no matter what, you're wrong about everything because they have an explanation. And I think that can be really damaging to oneself. And I've met so many people like that, that, I mean, I feel, you know, that I can comment on that with good authority, that it's actually really damaging because, I mean, we can isolate ourselves really easy. And I mean, that can quickly become quite painful.
Well, there's another thing. Most people talk so that they, you know, they want to be listened to, not to listen.
Yeah.
When you're in conversation, is it because you just want to lend to the conversation because you need to share your knowledge and look really like you know your shit?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it because you seriously want to be a part of something and learn from the other person without stepping on them, without making them feel that they don't know enough, or without mm-hmm. making them feel stupid?
Yeah.
Or insignificant. I think that, again, you know, it's just in so many ways, it's very fragile, our relationships with each other. And yet in so many ways, that same thing is extremely resilient.
Yeah,
there's
true.
Fragility and then there's this amazing resilience. And this is where, you know, wounds come in again. Look at the stuff that you've gone through. Look at the stuff that I've gone through. Sometimes I ponder. I still feel things. I had things come up recently. Over something that happened many years ago. And it just stirred everything up again because the wound is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's 7 years that have gone past, but the injustice and the violation, and I still feel it. I just, you know, it's not as acute as it was. And it's been enough time that, like Rose Kennedy said, my wound was able to scar. I have, you know, it's a scar now, but the scar is there. And you know, I think it's imperative that we recognize the power of our choices, but we also give ourselves some slack. Because when you've been betrayed, when you've been hurt deeply by someone that you trusted, when you've had these acute things happen to you, it's okay to feel it for a while. And I think that it would be silly for us to tell each other to just get over it. And most of us, you know, for those of you who've suffered huge tragedy and knowing that it can happen in an instant, your whole life changes in that moment. You're in the next moment going, it's so surreal. You don't even know how you can continue on, but we do, because life does in fact go on. But it doesn't mean that we're going on at the same pace that life is around us. Some of us slow down a little bit because we need to have that slowing down time for healing.
Yeah, of course. And you know what the main thing about it is too many times we think that we're all, you know, even if we talk to somebody once, we think, oh, well, I got that out. I'm good to go. But that's a form of brushing it under the rug as well. It's not giving yourself enough time to do anything. I think we have another caller. And that would be Trish on line one from Richmond, BC. Hey, Trish.
Hello, my name is Trish. I'm calling from Richmond, and I just have a little input for your show here. I was listening, and you guys have a great radio show, by the way. I love listening to you. It's always so enlightening.
Oh, and, thank you.
Well, what I wanted to say about the healing process is I think that oftentimes people don't move on to heal because it's what they're comfortable in. They're comfortable in that space because it's what is familiar for them. And sometimes I think that people don't work through things to find the light on the other side because of fear that they sense.
Well, I understand that. I mean, fear can be the most powerful tool, I mean, to so many people, yet it can also be the most powerful detriment. And I think that, you know, I've learned a lot over the years that fear is actually one of the things that I work the worst in. If I'm scared of something, I don't want any part of it. If I, you know, even with my surgeries that I just had, like I honestly, fear has kept me from getting, you know, my four wisdom teeth out. It's stopped me from whatever surgery or whatever, anything I've ever needed to do. I'm just scared. And I run from too many things.
But then she has the consequences, Trish, which is what I think you're talking about too, right? When we prolong things, though, I mean, because things don't go away.
I think what happens when we don't, the only way to solve a problem is through it. And I also think that if you don't deal with the problem, eventually it deals with you, because you may be able to put it off for the time being, but it's always going to come back to haunt you. And I work at a place where there is constant change. And I grew up in a household that was full of insecurity and uncertainty. And there was always doubt and a sense of abandonment in my life and in my mind. And so when I grew up into things, I wanted security. I wanted something to be the same always. And I almost felt as if I was allergic to change. And my workplace, that's the only constant, is change. And so what I've had to learn working there is that you have to roll with the punches and you have to ride the waves, because when you do that, you kind of conquer your fear in a way, and you grow from that experience. Even though it's something that you hate and feel so uncomfortable with, you always make it through. You always wake up the next day. And even if it was a mistake that you've made, at least you've grown from it and you've become wiser from taking that challenge and riding that wave.
Wow. You are wise, and you always have been.
Well, you know
what?
Thank you
so much.
You guys just rock. One of these days, I would really love to meet you in person because I always find your talk show so intriguing. And so one of these days, I'd love the pleasure of meeting you both. I find you wonderful.
Well, you got
strong
it.
Women. Okay. You take
you
care
got
and
it.
Thank you for a
we'll
great show.
Exchange numbers, and we will for sure take you out for lunch.
Thank you.
I'd like.
Okay,
thank you,
ladies.
Trisha, like
have a good evening.
Said. Thank you.
Bye.
I love what she said about if you don't work through the problem works, it doesn't go away. She's right.
Yeah.
And I think most of us kind of want to put our heads in the sand sometimes when something seems insurmountable.
Yeah.
But it gets worse. And I think this is one thing I'm trying to convey to my child is deal with it. Deal with everything. Deal mm-hmm. with it now. Don't put it off. There's all sorts of reasons and excuses we can come up with always, because when we don't want to do that which we know we have to do first, we will come up with all sorts of reasons. Other things will come up and take precedence, and I'm guilty of that too. I've done that in my own life. I procrastinated. I put things that I didn't want to deal with aside, or I pretended that things weren't really what they were because I didn't want to look at it. But the best gift I could give myself, and I will try to continuously remind myself of this, is to look at things for what they truly are, not for what I want them to be. And Trisha's dead on with change. Change is inevitable. I can so relate with her about my life, the same thing. I wanted just to have yeah. a stability. I wanted a promise. And I wanted that promise to be for my entire life, you know, and whatever that promise is, I just wanted to be stable, have a stability, have a sense of security. And who doesn't? And that isn't the way life is.
Yeah.
We can have that same stability and that same security within change.
Yeah.
Like what Trisha's saying is roll with the punches, go with the flow, the Taoist, right? Go with the flow of the river. Don't fight it, because when you're swimming up against the current, it's a lot harder than if you just let the current take you.
Yeah, I agree.
Effortless.
Well, that's how I was for many, 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 many years. 30.
Coming on 30, we're just talking about Ash. She's going to have her 30th birthday this year.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's
just,
I seriously, where did the last 3 years of my 20s, last 4 years of my 20s go?
In 4 years.
Oh my God. Seriously, I'm not ready to be 30 yet. And
so
I know
in the many, many, many years that you're saying that you've lived on this.
Oh, now I forget.
Because I sidetracked you with the 30.
But still, I mean, I just have not. I forget now. But I mean, let me tell you this. In the past 30 years.
Talk about change and stability.
I have. Oh, yeah. I have been so resistant to change. And just even in the past, like I'd say my 29th year. I've been feeling a lot, I've been letting go of trying to make something a certain way and like thinking everything has to be my way in order to be happy. Well, now I'm like, even if one or two things are my way, I'm happy. Is that weird?
I think it's actually quite a gift, because we drive ourselves crazy when we try to control everything. And, mm-hmm. and control is an illusion. We can't control everything.
I know.
It's a part of the illusion we tell ourselves, you know, and yeah. it stresses us out and it makes us sick. And so I think you've got the right answer there. When you can roll with the punches, go with the flow, allow people to be what they are, who they are.
But I've also gotten road rage.
Thanks, like, Dad.
Yeah. Because I have always just been this most laid back person. And now I drive, and especially living in White Rock, okay, drivers are really bad in White Rock. And it sucks. I love White Rock, but that sucks.
Well,
the drivers. And I've never been a mad person. I'm always so sweet and kind to everyone. I yell and I flash my middle finger and I'm turning into a bitch. So I don't know if I ever should have driven.
Maybe that's your arch enemy. That's your nemesis. That's the thing that will define your spiritual walk. It's
yeah,
your driving.
I think so. I think so.
Well, I think we're ready to tire up.
Yeah, thanks to our callers tonight, and thank you for all who listen. We just wanted to kind of, you know, have a little dialogue about actually whether to not leave our wounds behind. And I think that we've come to the conclusion that we can even fly with our wounds, but it's just
yeah.
about giving them the proper attention.
Yeah, and it's about having empathy for others and their wounds and for our own. And it's not to become self-indulgent and allow our wounds to define us either. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, rising above, but working with. And, yeah, I really do believe we can soar.
Well, even the great Kurt Cobain was talking about empathy. He always made a point to talk about empathy.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, things got to be too much for him because he empathized so much. But, I mean, I've always been like that. I've always been too empathetic to where sometimes it's just, that's what gets me down is other people's stuff.
Because you're sensitive. And I think you have to recognize there's a lot of people out there as well that are super sensitive psychically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, when you are sensitive, this is when you also get to meet, you know, you need to reach out to other people that are sensitive and understand it and not take it on as your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what was hard for him is, mm-hmm. you know, taking it on as his own.
Well, hopefully anybody else out there who's doing that can, you know, find space to talk about it.
Yes, definitely.
And we love you. And I, as promised, I will put a picture up of Molly on our website.
Yeah, check it
out. Tomorrow night after I'm done work.
That's right. So everybody, kiss a tree. We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Good night.